boom of graphics. And lo and behold, it's all over the media this weekend. But Minister, I just want to know, why are we still pursuing the Chinese funding and construction of the boom of graphics, even after Treasury has previously given us the red light and said, and does not agree with that happening? And I raised it at committee last week, not knowing what was going to come into the media this weekend. And my opposition to it is the fact that history has proven, and we've seen other projects in the country where the Chinese government has come in and done projects in other portfolios. And our local communities have not benefited from it at all. We've seen projects, and I use the example of Fastcorp, where a housing settlement was built, where every single piece of equipment, there was no local procurement, everything came in from China in containers, and the point I made was including the food that they ate, all that was came in, nothing was procured locally, none of the labor was procured locally. How does that benefit our local communities? How does that provide jobs for our local people? We are speaking about a huge project, which has already, by the way, escalated. And the longer we delay it, the more the cost is going to escalate. Initially, it was meant to be 12 billion. Last week, we were told 20 billion. So in 5 years delay that we already delayed it, already the cost has escalated so much. But how is it going to benefit the local people if we bring in the Chinese government to build a project that should be benefiting the local people of the Eastern Cape? And while we still insisting on it, when Treasury has already said no. Please, Minister, if you could respond to that then.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just also on last week's meeting, the impression was given last week to Minister that in the time that the DG, or the DDG that acted in for 2 weeks, he has made a lot of changes. He created the acting DG, for the first time in the department he's now working, Deputy Minister was there. He's made a lot of changes. He's put Mr. Balja in to a project that he needs to deal with. But that's not my question. I just want to raise that it is a concern that we don't get the same people. The fact of the matter is the information that was given last week, Minister, to appropriation was not the same that we received when we got there. The accruals, they never mentioned the accruals to them. Those are the people that's got to make sure that we get funding. And then he came up with issues of it, but it's not necessary to inform them, wait for the statements. Well, the information should have been given to them on the accruals. It was never mentioned. So appropriation did not know that there was accruals. And leave it there. Minister, the question, that was just a comment to me. Minister, we have discussed this, and Minister, you have raised it, that the Metal Task Team report was given to you, and on that you have acted. would you make that report available to the Portfolio Committee? Or would you discuss that report if you feel it's too sensitive to release the report, then take the Portfolio Committee in your confidence, and discuss what you picked up in the Metal Task Team. If it's not now, then on a later stage. That's all, Chairperson. Thank you.
Ngos.
Thank you, Chairperson. To order, if I'm going straight, Chairperson, on the issue of Utuwe, in fact, it's a matter of interest for me. I understand there is a project that was designed to draw water from Utuwe to Hudidro. And I wanted us to get a report and advice on the progress of the project. Having read on the local newspaper that seemingly the project is not up and running in order to fit the program for the benefit of the communities in Mthatuze, the city of Mthatuze, as well as the farmers around the area. Thank you.
conflicting interests. I'm not sure whether you be able, Minister, to address this specifically, but whether is somebody else going to address the water use stipends? You know how it started from where I'm seated. You know, you get to receive inquiries from some people in the Kirkwood. I was not even aware about it. And later, this morning, in fact, just on my way here, I also get another inquiry from Northern Cape. This one black farmer is somewhere in Free State. He wants to expand 100 and whatever hectares. For me, the point raised, or rather addressed in the correspondence to you, seeks to get a broader understanding of what is happening there in that space, so that it is not done in piecemeal. And how long has this been? And how, because I was asking this gentleman this morning as to whether he's, are you aware of these pieces of land, or rather, these water use licenses set aside for black farmers? He was not aware. Question for me that is being raised is that of the manner and the form in which those would have been advertised, or any awareness of such that has gone out there. I'm raising this issue specifically because I get an impression that this is something that the department also gets to find itself rolling out, but not having been part of its awareness and its allocation. It is something that we might wish to see as to how best we can get our communities out there to be informed and be aware, especially those black farmers, so that you don't get this in piecemeal coming as inquiries, just today, the other one from tomorrow, the other one the after tomorrow. If you can respond to that, there's a matter of interest that came as a, by the way, from on my side. Mr. Chaplin?
I want to get clarity from one small point.
that is going to happen, then I'm okay with that. But if there's nothing, therefore it means that this committee, which is doing oversight over the department, will have to take a particular interest. It cannot be just business as usual, that it becomes normal that you know, things are going wrong and we just accept whatever that you have written. Thank you very much, it was wonderful. Can't you? So I'm saying that we have to be guided, in fact, at the level of the creative as to how we're going to be processing those issues. But maybe at some point, Chair, we may want to have a close meeting with the minister alone, where the minister would have to take this committee with confidence on some of the issues that we call them bankers or whatever, mismanagement, whatever you may want to call them. We may want to do that exercise. It's very important because we cannot be at the dark all the time that this committee that look at us. We go to the chamber there, we're in defense, we raise issues, but we don't have information. You know, we don't know what's happening in the department. To be very honest with you, in fact, issues that you are raising with the minister, very much administrative issues. I almost engage on core issues that we expect the executive authority just to guide us, to help us understand where they are standing, you know, for us to be able to have full information. So I'm saying that for me, I'm not going to allow a situation where it becomes normal, Chair, that the issues of the suspended officials become one of those issues that are left. The department is going back to the negative reporting again. I think we have seen it, Chair. And at some point, we have tried to really work very close to the department to help it get out of the negative reporting. But with all of these things, we're not going to allow Chair again. So I'm saying that we have to be guided proper, we have to know what's happening. If the department does not have capacity to deal with such matters, it's therefore going to be the responsibility of this committee to really call for further information. Even if we're to investigate as a committee, we still have to call for not even another committee or person, but this department is committed to capacity check to investigate any other matter and call any other official to appear to clarify on issues that we feel that they clarify. And to make a proper recommendation to the National Assembly if there's anything. So I'm saying that there are bigger issues that require our attention. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Even laugh on the responses you
say he made about the food and all those things. Surely, in the company of the DDG for NWRI, there could have been a better response on some of the issues that you are raising in public staff. Because one expects a collective approach on these matters. Hence, even with me, when I'm not able to articulate, I defer to the team that is accompanying me here. So I note that and I would deal with it. On the issues of Umzimvu, one of the things I always say is I would never and have never abdicated responsibility on things that were taken, decisions taken prior to my being in office. The agreement between the People's Republic of China and South Africa took place prior to me coming in, and it was during the time of Minister Pravin Gordhan where TCTA signed an agreement with CCC during a binational visit by the state president of the People's Republic of China. There is no record on our side that says there's a formal rejection, because Treasury has no responsibility to say this thing can happen or cannot happen. If it does not succeed, it has to go back to Cabinet. And I think, Chairperson, what we can safely explain is that we are on course with Mzimbubu, and we are on course with Mzimbubu with a very positive indication of benefit by our traditional authorities who are the primary owners of land in the area, with the benefit of over 60 villages that are going to have access to water, but not only in terms of access to water, jobs are actually in the range of more than 3,000 that are going to be created during the construction, never mind the maintenance period. We are also quite conscious of the fact that we now have policies through the Department of Trade and Industry that deals with the issues around local content, and they are the non-negotiables. And I think what was in the papers was not fed by anybody. It was a creation of the media itself, and it was not even given by us. So what the intention was, only the devil knows. So I think what we really need to appreciate, Honorable Baker, and I think with your permission, Chairperson, because we had not come with an intention to come and present, it is also not correct to generalize and say this is what the Chinese do. Yesterday, some few years ago, it was about the Cubans, now it's the Chinese, and I want to commit that because this is a government to government, there is a commitment to respect national laws of a sovereign state like South Africa, but also to appreciate that there must be transfer of skills and knowledge and expertise, and thirdly, there must be local content in terms of allocation 70-30, which is understandable, and it's not that we are doing this thing without actually putting South Africa first. We are putting South Africa first, and this is where we are. In fact, I think in the foreseeable future, as I'm saying, if permitted, we can come and share with you, there is going to be an indication in the form of a gazette, DDG, acting DG, coming from National Treasury on Umzimvu. So it is where it is now. And one of the things that we also want to explain, Chair, is that the more we delay this project that was initially thought of, 1962, before I was born, you know, until today. So what has happened is it has been chopped and changed and chopped, and part of what it seeks to do is to contribute towards economic development of that corner of our country, and through water, electricity, infrastructure, you end the road that has already been built that links Umtata and KwaZulu Natal. That is part of the entire development of the Umzimvubu
scheme. So I think what is really a concern, which you are correct about, is that the costs have just been going on and on and on, precisely because of the delays and stuff. But we are now working. We have the Treasury, we have ourselves, we've got the Department of Justice that works with the state law advisors to advise us on this. We have the head of the Secretary of Cabinet, the DG in the Presidency. We have the DG of Trade and Industry actually leading the pack to make sure that we really protect our interests while promoting international best practice for us to develop that particular area. Honorable Baswan, yes, I've spoken about Squire doing well. In fact, he was implementing a decision of the management meeting of the department where decisions were taken, presided over by Mr. McKee. We appreciate that you're saying within that period of 2 weeks, he actually implemented those decisions. And I think that's exactly what we're dealing with, which is one of the things that is linked to the problems that we've had with the former DG on the delays on some of the things. So he was actualizing it, and with the time difference between Sweden and South Africa and South Africa and China. In fact, we were on call communicating with him on all those many other issues, including submissions made to me whilst I was abroad to consider these issues. And I really appreciate the positive feedback and what you have actually commented on. And my own issue is that it was a collective effort, and he has really done well. And I hope it then dilutes Member Baker's comment about Squire and the food and all those kind of things. The Terumo Tau issue, yes, I think we can off committee, because we are expanding the work around what has come out of it, and one is in a position to then come and interact with colleagues on this particular matter, Chair. Anil Singh has been charged already, so there's a process that is going on, and we would want to leave it at that stage. But because the issue is due to get already, money has been put, a service provider has been appointed. No, I'm in business. No, in good.
Oh, in good.
Yes. Treasury has given us the support.
Also in good.
Oh, looking it well. So, work is happening. Treasury has given us the money for it. So, it is work that is now on course. It could improve. And interestingly, the entire Tugela water scheme has now also been put in the discussions by Cabinet in view of our historical weaknesses of not storing water, but conserving water and distributing it. So there is now a consideration of saying, let's just put together that entire Tugela water scheme and work in a manner that we can be able to store water, not just conserve, store water and be in a position to have water that can be utilized beyond a period of 30 to 35 years. So this is the work that is also being considered, and the Treasury together with ourselves are looking at it. The water utilities in KwaZulu-Natal have also been part of working on these matters. Chairperson, you're raising an important issue around the issuing of licenses. Remember, the historically disadvantaged individuals get this land that has been allocated or identified through rural development. And I think what has been our experience is that if water demands are not part of the package, we then come after when people are settled. And hence, in some instances, people are not able to then be active farmers because of the delays in terms of the allocation. You can't do advanced allocation precisely because you must know the hectares and where the location of these portions of land is going to be. And that, remember, it is done through the Department of Rural Development and Land Affairs. So we come in, and when we come in, there's already a pressure because people have settled and they do not have the water use license. What are we doing? We have now put together an interdepartmental team that also includes the Department of Agriculture, so that then agriculture itself can assist these individuals in terms of what the needs are going to be, and then ourselves together with energy, we should be coming in to say what are the critical services that we must allocate for what kind of a use. Because some get allocation of the land but don't even intend to use the land for farming, for crop or for whatever, upon receipt of the land. Therefore, I would suggest, Chair, and the incident you are raising is exactly that we only come in through that process, but right at the end, and individual applicants or beneficiaries don't come to know, because then we do this as part of an administrative process. And we have agreed, therefore, with the two colleagues, the ministers, that it would be important, therefore, that when there is an intention to buy, like the one that I was referring to, that it was then overpriced, when there is intention to buy, let's know the size and the number of beneficiaries, so that then ahead of them being allocated, we are able to deal with these issues. It's part of the one-stop investment approach, and I think in Gauteng, but here in the Western Cape and parts of the Eastern Cape, there has been a good progress in that regard. The city of Cape Town has been quite helpful in because it also has been helpful in giving approval in that regard, and some of our municipalities in the Eastern Cape. We are trying and doing our best with regard to the Northern Cape, and if I may say, you can see that some of the challenges are actually in those areas that one is mentioning. Honourable Chauke, I had already spoken about the procedure. The DG has been charged already. An appearance was supposed to have taken place last week. He then submitted through his representative a sick note that he's not well, and the hearing had to be postponed. And the chair of the committee then indicated that they have to come together, the two parties must come together and agree on dates, so that then we then are able to complete this matter. And being ill is an unforeseen thing, it was not predicted, the notice only came on that day, and as we speak now, there was a problem because the representatives could not say when will he be well for them to come and participate. So hence the chair requested that there must be communication and undertaking that notice will be served timely on his fitness to appear before the disciplinary committee. The DDGs that were suspended, they came back to something because they were not charged within the specific time frame, which again is an unfair labor practice, which also put us under bad luck. Them coming back does not mean the transgressions are done and dusted and they no longer exist. What we have started to do is to then make sure that what was supposed to be done is completed in terms of the charges and the areas of transgression, so that then we can move. And like the one on Mr. Singh, already the charges have been issued against him. So the other two would also follow that particular process. So there is nothing that has now been set aside on the other two DDGs. And on allegations, and I want to state for the record, is allegations on corruption. I think all of us are quite worried, and that's why these issues that we are dealing with. And if we are requested to come and give a detailed report like you are proposing, you are most welcome as the portfolio committee, that we should come and do a report on all those issues, because the Motau issue, Honorable Basson, actually called for a much more, let me say, deeper investigation. The questions that came from the SIU requested further information, precisely because they also want to get to get deeper into the issues that have been raised. So we are together in these issues, and I do agree. We can't be dealing with technical matters. It must be strategic issues that the portfolio committee must hold us accountable for, and we will be able to deal with. Just the last repeat on the together check. You know, I know in our program that we just shared check, the issue of the master plan, we're going to come back sometime in October to the portfolio committee. But it will be important, again, in line with what Mr. Honorable Choke has said, that we do talk about water security in South Africa. Because that's what we're dealing with our situation of the Tugela water scheme. We can't do things piecemeal. We have to look at issues now in a bigger scheme of things to say, can we stop beyond 2030 and to almost 40 to 60 years and have water that is going to be stored, and find other ways other than just relying on the rain to generate the volumes that we can store and not just the volumes that are needed. And I think the deficit in our country has been that we have been building bulk infrastructure for immediate distribution and very little on securing water for the future. Thanks, Chair.
Can we treat this as to be the last round?
Thank you very much, Chair. And I'm happy that the Minister agreed that there must be a briefing in the portfolio committee. So I was going to suggest, Chair, that maybe the next portfolio committee meeting that takes place, the Minister can come and take the committee with confidence, meaning that we can then apply for a closed meeting where the whole presentation can be given to the committee on the suspension, starting not only with the DDGs, even the DG himself, Chair. And it's important that we may want to invite a special investigating unit chair to come and brief the committee to understand their line of investigation. But we may think that they are busy investigating and they target something else. We may want to do that exercise, Chair, as a committee, just to get a brief, and to try and marry that investigation with the briefing that we'll get from the minister, which will definitely address us. Now that we are here, Minister, there's a point that I wanted to raise. Last week in the chamber, all out in defense of water security in the country and the department, Honorable Baker raised the point, which I felt very much embarrassed. And I want this embarrassment to be clear today, Minister, because she raised the point that in your constituency, Chauke, there's no water, and you are busy defending the department in the chamber. Very embarrassed. Can someone explain to me what is the problem with the Gauteng problem? I'm now talking to the minister, not Mkhize for now, but someone can explain to me what is the problem. Either it's the local government, the chair received a letter from the council that requests the intervention again. People are moving within barrels again, minister, in that space. And I fail to understand that a commitment was made. Not because my interest is nothing else, I'm repeating it again today in this meeting. My interest is nothing else except that the people in that constituency must have water. This whole notion that they are raising these things because of Funubucha, what are we going to eat there when people don't have money, don't have water? That's the issue, Minister. That's my constituency. That's where I live. Every day, every Monday, I go to that constituency. And people are like, we are in the portfolio committee of water, we don't have water. There's no answer. Can someone really tell us what is happening with regard to that particular area? I'll be happy if I can get a response, even not only a response, even a response from the letter that was sent to the chair. I know that I would have ambushed you, chair, but I think we would have communicated to the minister the letter that we received from the constituency chair. So that is my point, chair, and I want to say, Ms. Vick, I agree with you. I may not have agreed to the public speech, but the point that we raised is the correct one. There's no water in that particular area, and the big problem that requires serious attention.
Chairperson, I just need to help Mr. Chalky. They should pray in that area, because that's why she responded to that there's no water in his own constituency, because there's no water in the Western Cape. And he said people are not praying, so I want to tell him they must pray for water in his constituency. Minister, let me... Yeah, but that's where the reply comes from. He asked for it, he got it. So it's good you answer, because I agree with him. There should be done something about it. Minister, let's just break this bubble on the DDG Squire, Ms. Langu. He was grandstanding, but Minister, you informed us now that he's doing good work. Then you should appoint him as the DG. Well, then he was grandstanding, and that was my point I was trying to make, Minister. Because the impression he gave was, only for the 2 weeks now that stuff has started to change. So then, Minister, you've agreed with that, then I would say you've got the wrong DG appointed. So I'm not differing with my colleague. We are on the same page. He was grandstanding either. If you say he was not grandstanding, then you've appointed the wrong DG. I just want to clarify that, Minister.
I can safely say that Mr. Mkhize, in your absence, was a coup.
Thank you very much, morning, Minister Deputy Minister, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues. I wanted to find out on this issue of the packet eradication program. If you can be asked, what is the plan of the department? You have noted that there has been a shift in many occasions in terms of time frames. What is it that you must expect now? What is the plan of the department? And what are the economic of implications of the service delivery in those affected areas? Thank you very much.
Minister. There was an acting DG before Mrs. Jedrick came in. She came in, there was beginning instability. Then there was another acting. Then we have now the DG. Then he is suspended. What that tells us is that for as long as there is no stability in the department, it makes our life very difficult as a community to hold anyone accountable, an accounting officer in a specific instance. That's the challenge that we're in. That you come in today, explain this and that, does not affect. Accountability driven by your PMFA is supposed to assist us as a committee to achieve what we want to achieve, holding the department to account. As we speak today, the experience of last week with Mr. Matangu, the experiences that we have with Mr. Mkhize from time to time, finding himself not being able to account for his decisions, accounts to this problem. That today we find ourselves in the situation makes our lives, as I repeat, very difficult. I'm quite conscious of the fact that the comment I'm making is quite a general one, but it begs a very serious concern that this committee finds itself in. I hope, I trust that I'm speaking on behalf of all of us here. Now, today we find ourselves in a situation where, among others, we were taken through the annual report, and there was an accrual, and also there is an overdraft. We asked a specific question as to whether we shall be able to live by what we spoke about, the response that we got. If you remember, we have to go through with the department on three occasions on a specific matter that relates to whether or not you shall be able to pay these outstanding amounts for these service providers. And then we're given an indication that yes, through some of those unconditional grants and some of those conditional grants, WASIC, ACIP, and also what's the big one, RB, being mentioned, that indeed you shall be able to make those payments. There were agreements between National Treasury and the Department about the overdraft. But again, having achieved part of what you shall have agreed upon with the National Treasury, and so far as the overdraft is concerned, something else must happen. Some of the new projects that have since been put on abeyance, and some of those old projects have since been rescheduled for late payment. And again, confirming the fact that here you're going to have a scenario wherein Peter is going to be paying Paul, and Paul is going to be paying Jay. Now, these are the kinds of things that we really are to talk about if we can get comments on those specific ones. Obviously, we are still to get the department to brief us more about the details. I had thought perhaps from where you are seated before you leave, if you can make any comments.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'll respond and also say, Honourable Member Chauke, there's a saying in Sesotho, "Motho ba ba le ba." I'm continuously licking my own wounds of being generous with local government, because when it is time to account, no one else takes responsibility other than the Department of Water and Sanitation. And I know that it may seem to be a harsh position that we have opted to take. But with the realities, Chairperson, part of what you are raising, of the fact that there is no new money, we have to do more with less, but we have municipalities that are getting their resources directly from National Treasury and aren't able to do reticulation, and then we're expected to assist. There is sufficient water around Kriken. What is a challenge is the issue of co-funding, which we have been audited negative primarily on those kind of projects. And I'm sorry, Honorable Members, to say that, because unfortunately, somebody will remind me of the constitutional responsibility of the minister. And yet, when it comes to the resourcing and the executing of the mandate, the resources lie somewhere and they are prescribed. And I think this is what Parliament, and again coming back to you, Chair, that this portfolio committee, the Treasury, the Finance Committee, and COCTA must really give themselves time and engage on this matter. So that then, as you say, people have gone back to wheelbarrow, and yet there's water there. Because the bulk infrastructure has been installed, but the municipality is not doing its thing. Then your constituency suffers. It's not the only one. There are many of that kind. It's a bad reflection on planning. It's a bad management of the conditional grant. And it's poor monitoring and evaluation. And I really want to raise these things because the bigger resources of this department over the last 3 years of the drought went to this kind of intervention. Then that are seen as what? Wasteful or irregular. And they end up with us. Because you are told it's not your business. Why? And then we're told you increase the scope without authorization of your own responsibility. So I'm really pleading with colleagues that we should appreciate this. And initially, we were all nice and thinking these issues will be attended to. In fact, Treasury can't even compensate. Treasury can't compensate that we've done some work for a municipality and then this is what must be done. In fact, it is seen as being irregular. Unless a municipality itself tells National Treasury that divert our conditional grant. And those municipalities that are doing this thing, most of them are the ones who want their money. They want their money coming to their account. As to what they do with that money, you then have this kind of thing. So I'm saying, Honorable Chauke, and I know I've taken long to explain this thing, but it's a general stance we have taken. We now have all the letters that are coming from the mayors of those municipalities. And for me, one of the special meetings I would suggest is that meeting with COCTA, because the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, without saying you must be my ally, I think you are right to be hard on me. But what you must really help then as a way forward, let's also hold the other components of water provision in South Africa accountable, Chair. And I really am pleading for that because we have inundated correspondence now, people say, Minister, we don't have money. They agree in the planning. They approve the plan. Come crunch hour, that's very grand. And I think that's what National Treasury must do. It must track what the money they transfer directly to municipalities gets used for. And with us, we would really appreciate the order that it must be done. We've even asked, again, trying to be merciful, ask Sidibeng to do designs for them. And I can tell you, Honorable Chauke, the costs are going to rest on the water board because they will come back and raise issues. You've been raising the stories of Bushbuck Ridge, Member Baker. It's just those kind of real challenges. And I really want, if we're not going to be just dealing with technical issues, let's come and talk to our colleagues here, all of them, and let them tell us what is this line department doing, how do we monitor the finances, how do we actually really deal with these grants as real conditional grants? Because for me, that is the issue. Who defines the condition of that grant going direct to that local authority?
In that first meeting, we were going to get the issue of a local government has been coming at no point that we've ever had the Minister of Local Government. Mm-hmm.
And I think let's take advantage of the committee now. Even issues that were raised during the debate when we're dealing with the report was mounted or explicit. So I think let's take advantage that the next meeting that we're going to meet, we invite the minister for the So at this matter, because most of the problems that I said that are coming, we just came back from the voting long ago. We went on issues of articulation, the bulk is there, the articulation becomes a problem. In Gauteng, I'm not sure where it's bulk, because I know that the source of water has been discovered somewhere, in some farm somewhere, and that water needs to be channeled to the dam, which will then put in the bulk. I'm not sure what's happening. So I think we have to do that, Chair. We'll definitely have to prioritize. So there's clarity here, because the problem is that all the time we're dealing with issues that require local government, and there's no point that they're calling local government to come and account on those issues. Because the department has to emphasize the point. The department deals with bulk. And when we're in Limpopo, it was clear that bulk ends there, and recirculation is not happening. So let's make a decision, Chair. As to sum up, I think you may want to close with that point that we then invite local government and treasure.
Chairperson, may I add something? I think the minister explained. And I agree with Chair. Just put your
right. Oh, sorry.
I agree 100% with the minister. I had a discussion last week with the deputy minister. Two things. Yes, it is the minister's responsibility to make sure water is there. But it is true, there's no responsibility from COCTA, there's no responsibility or action from the municipalities. If you intervene in a municipality, you must send them an invoice for the work you have done. And if they don't pay, you take it from the equitable share, point blank. We must get to that point, one. Two, minister, then we will get these people, because unfortunately, Minister, your department is the only department that can rectify problems with bulk services. COCTA can't from the province. They don't have expertise. They haven't got people to do it. You've got the people to intervene. You've got water boards. So our point on this issue is, if you intervene in Maribeng, you go and intervene. You invoice them. They don't pay you. You take him to court because you are rendering a service that they are that's been allocated to them, and you've got to protect the interests of the community. That's the first thing. Second thing is the bucket eradication. It does not belong with this department. It must be transferred to the municipalities to complete it. With the funding, we do bulk. We don't do infrastructure. So that's the two issues I want us to have common ground on it in the portfolio committee. Is that because I don't know what's going to happen, Minister. Your department is now refusing. We would get a lot of complaints that there's infrastructure which is not in a workable position. And then your department's taking the hard stand to say, I cannot do it. It's not the responsibility, the municipality must do it. Unfortunately, Minister, that's going to harm service delivery to our people. So yes, I agree. It's time we get the Minister of COCTA here. And we must be on the same page. If we go as a department and a portfolio committee, I think we must have a meeting before we meet them. We must have common ground where we want to drive it, and then they must fall in line. I've spoken to my colleagues in COCTA. They agree 100% that the municipality does not pay for it, for the services you are rendering on their behalf. Take it from the equitable share. And last week, Chairperson, the National Treasury indicated, although someone within that portfolio committee was fighting not to use equitable share, Minister, in my constituency in Maribeng, four times now, I utilize the equitable share to pay for electricity, to pay rand water. So I blocked that. I requested to block it, so make sure they pay what they need to pay. If it can happen there, why shouldn't it term between yourself, National Treasury, to get this thing on the ground. And Minister, I think then you can with great pleasure go spend the money, and if it's not been paid back, you claim it from the equitable share. I don't see us going another way than that way. That's just my input I would like to make going forward.
I like how you smuggled your other issues into
the party. Maybe, Chair, before Ms. Baker came in, for information, I've written to the President to have resolved this a constituency management committee to advise the President to take. So I know that is going to happen. And I know that water is going to be there. As soon as the President is there, it's going to be there. Popped up all Department of Water Affairs. The President is going to confirm before the end of this week that the data that are going to be there. And I know when he comes there, he's going to be with you. He's going to be with Popped and the decision is going to be taken in that here, in that question, gathering of the community. That the water and everything. I am now a jumping step now. I'm going up.
As I could like the President went to Giani in 2010 and told us to have water. Yeah? So good luck to you. Sorry, Chair, I just want to add my words to what Minister, the other concern, adding on what Mr. Bassam is saying, where you have resource constrained municipalities because they don't have the funding, Bushbuck Ridge being one of those. So even though the work was done, now they're being choked by their water. So in effect, the good work that we've done, we are now undoing the good work. So that is a consideration that you have to have, a discussion you have to have with COPTA. And I know it's going to come back to bite the department now, but it's appropriations this week in at Juzini. And that plant as well. The plant is there, it has the capacity, the job is done, so the box ticked for the department, but it's going to come back to bite the department. Because it's not even 10% that is being produced. And it's because of the reticulation at local government level. So somehow or the other, we have to, and that Kamikud is under administration. So they don't have the capacity. Exactly, they don't have the capacity. So we have to work around this. So I think at our level and at the minister's level, there has to be the serious. And Chair, you, haven't you had that interaction with COPTA yet? We've raised it several times. You wish me to undertake that request.
The comment I wanted to make is that it's local government, it's that is COPTA, it's National Treasury, the department together with the water boards. We took a discussion with Mr. Chalke on a need to pull together all of these. The intention would be to do three things. One is to look at the debt. Second one is to look at infrastructure development. The third one is role definitions. So that going forward, that capacity will be more than infrastructure. As to what infrastructure layout are we expecting going forward, and all of those issues. In fact, related to capacity also must be an issue of maintenance. COPTA has, as part of their base program, they've got what they call a position, I don't know what they call it, position that talks to 10% of their total budget as municipalities to be set aside for maintenance. Whether that is happening, one big question. So as the form in which this meeting is to take place, that's something else that we need to refine further. Clearly this is a big meeting that we must pull together with your water board, with the department, with COPTA, with National Treasury. And structure that meeting, and that meeting must take the specific resolutions going forward that must be defined. So those are the details one we've had discussion with Mr. Chalke on. The quick one, Minister, as you were pursuing your response plantation. Whatever reason, those sugar plantations are no more there. In my previous life in agriculture, Ilobo was the main structure that was planted there. So, met with Ilobo, Mbalito, somewhere in Zamba, had a meeting with your local councillors and provincial government people. The aim was to revive your plantation. It's 10,000 hectare piece of land. As you drive out of South Coast, you drive past Nzamba, that is the border between Eastern Cape and KZN, if you like. From South Coast of KZN, it's green. Going to the Eastern Cape, it's brown. And it used to be green as well. So part of what we are talking about as you talk in Zimbabwe, your offtake agreements, inadvertently, it can only be, among others, granted, this is a social project we have decided, but you are equally better off with those plantations being revived. And they simply require, again, that collaboration between yourself and your culture minister, plus also your provincial role players in the Department of Agriculture. And it also simply, again, talking to those communities there to really come to that sense. This is better off. There, in Margate, you used to have a serious transportation at Mzimkulu, rather. They have those processing plants there. So that whole area used to be very thriving in economic activity. With transportation, when we spoke with those communities, you can create your local co-ops based on transportation. So because that's a major cost driver that was really taking so much out of those small growers there. So that's what is involved, or can be involved, rather, in attacking that situation as Mzimbabwe. That would be the one point that I thought I might wish to make. Sorry if we have disturbed you.
Chair, I think you can do a better facilitation on justifying the economic spin-off of Mzimbabwe. It's exactly that. It's located in the Eastern Cape, but it's your sugar cane area of South Africa. So this thing of KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape is just very artificial, and hence the investment then on that national road and so forth. And part of this scheme is also about the irrigation services and capacity and creation of new industries, the thing that you are raising. So hence I was saying we'll find time and come and talk about this matter, so that then it deals with everything, including this issue around appreciating what the benefits, even for the communities in terms of sustainable jobs. The job survey of South Africa actually indicates that area continues to be one of the sending regions to urban areas, particularly for the mines, including on unplanned urban migration. So, historically, yeah. And the worst thing now is that the age has gone far lower. It's young people now. They're leaving those areas. So it tends to be a good kind of an intervention going into the long term. I thank you and Honorable Baker for the comments that you have made on the issues around the procurement and the policy issues compliance. We should come and finish the committee and the Deputy Minister and Team DG on those particular issues, and hence also the ability to get these resources, because historically everybody keeps on saying it's a social project when it is not necessarily about social. It's also both is also highly economic. It stands a better chance of growing jobs, creating jobs, growing the economy of the country, but also creating, again, the storage capacity for Kuga and for Nelson Mandela. Because there's a long pipeline that also has to feed Nelson Mandela, but also help Kuga. Because in the last 2 years of the drought in the Eastern Cape, we have seen an investment of $5 billion relocating to Richards Bay because of what the water insecurity in that particular area. So we take note of the comments that colleagues have actually raised. The budget eradication program, Honorable Mbudi, you are correct. It keeps shifting precisely because what Honorable Basson is saying. We are told you've got 20 budgets that you have to eradicate. Nobody on the other side upgrades the wastewater treatment plant and the supply of water. And that then makes this to be a problem. And I think we've all come to realize that these kind of interventions are not sustainable. And they are not taking us anywhere. And truth be told, it must be the things that we really are able to say what went wrong, what are the issues, and how do we go about, including the issues of introducing alternative sanitation solutions. It's so expensive. When you read about it, when people say we've spent X amount of money, you just divide the number, you think it costs a huge amount of money to build a single toilet, only to find you blast, you lay the infrastructure, you must go and upgrade the wastewater treatment plant, and all those kind of things. So it is that reason behind what we are doing, and I fully agree, Honorable Member Person. Ordinarily, it's not our core business. Our business is to deal with the bulk infrastructure for waste management and setting policy standards. But we find ourselves in this kind of a situation. So if we agree that as the committee, at some point we must take a resolution and say this and not fun. And as we deal with this, municipalities commit immediately to do 1, 2, 3, because there's also an issue where municipalities would want to just have waterborne sewer system and not look at other options, because again the cost goes with these kind of issues. So I think that's part of the explanation, and you'll also in the presentation, Honorable Mbuni, get more details there from the EPIM DG. Member Bakon, me and you are in the same WhatsApp group. We agree. I fully support this idea. I fully support it, but you know what I want us to do is to get organized local government on board, is to get the SFC people on board, because part of the challenges is that then we are told you can't just lay claim on the equitable share. So there must be that kind of an engagement, and it will be good that we get organized SALCA to be part of it, because they also sit in the issues of the budgets and all those things and the fiscal policy, that we deal with it. And hence I'm saying there is a need for collaboration and cooperation, and I really appreciate that we're sitting here today, we're trying to find answers to these things that have really put us under bad spotlight, and yet they are not ours. The Vaal River system has been compromised by Emfuleni for years, and we step in every time. We're dealing with the Sidibeng sewer. I think we'll get a detailed report. Ordinarily, it's not our state, but we have to deal with Sidibeng sewer because it ended up being a bulk infrastructure, because it has affected development in the entire province of Gauteng. Albertine can't grow beyond the mayor's dam and other parts of Johannesburg outside of City Bay are affected by this. And it is those things that at the end of the day, we continue to do them because of how we look at the bigger picture. But the bigger picture is beginning to be a burden on us. And I think you are quite correct that we should do this. And you are right to identify, I'm just adding organized local government. And then I'm also raising this issue. I don't know which committee that can bring SFC, but surely the finance committee can actually bring the SFC, because sitting here, and it used to be nice when I was in Gauteng with the equitable share. But now with this responsibility, I do buy into the idea that we must revisit the equitable share, so that then we are also biased towards underdeveloped areas. However, it must be accompanied with the responsible leadership and compliance, as well as use of money for the purpose that the resources are allocated for. Because part of what I'm also presenting as my own argument, and I've seen there's going to be a debate sometime in October in Parliament on the status of provinces and some of the districts and local government. There are municipalities that are just not viable, and end up using these monies to pay salaries and their other operational issues. So we must come back. I think 23 years down the line, the country must come back and look at these issues. Otherwise, we'll have continuous protests of poor service delivery. And secondly, you'll have national departments taking responsibility, and yet there is someone who will stand up in every meeting and say, I am a water service authority. So I really want us to deal with this FSC and the formula. Because for me, that is one of the things that we are looking at. Interestingly, just on a lighter note, myself and the Premier of the Western Cape, even late last night, we're talking about this allocation formula. I was her ally when I was the Premier. I'm no longer her ally now. But now, interestingly, being herself, she's sympathetic to her poor municipalities, because now it becomes a burden for the provincial government, which can't actually do anything, and the FFC is rigid, it's not actually working. The last comment she raised yesterday was that we are nowhere where we were together, but we are stuck now with reality. And I think that's part of the policy reviews, Honorable Chauke, that we must sit in this portfolio committee and be robust about and see how best we deal with it. The time to review the allocation formula and the use of the equitable share is now. So I support Honorable Basson on that note. The chair raised the issues around the DG. When myself and the deputy minister arrived at DWS, there was a case of a DG. And for over a year, we had to deal with that case. And we had to resolve that case. So we came into a department that already had an issue with its own DG. And we had to deal with it. And to expedite the process, we had to put together a special team supported by the Department of Public Service and the PSC, Public Service Commission, to renegotiate the condition of that suspended DG, so that then we can create a vacancy for the department. It took us more than a year to resolve that matter, because it was going in and out and in, and no progress in that regard. And to fast track the feeling of a vacancy, we then had to request Gauteng, and I hope the chair, since he has come in, Gauteng to transfer, it was not a new DG appointed, to transfer Margaret M. Dedra to come to DWS and finish her 5-year term. She was left with a period of 2 years, 18 months, in her contract as a DG. So it was a transfer term to this particular area. When Margaret M. Dedra resigned, she was left with just a period of 3 months. So there was going to be a vacancy anyway, and she actually resigned. So since we came in, we had that issue of having to come in and pull things together, and she came in to come and finish her term, which was left with almost 2 years, 18 months, the 18 months as it has been clarified. And we really, in good faith, we thought we had a good DG. And I still maintain, we thought we had a good DG. But again, in the interest of efficiency, better administration, execution of the responsibility, again, you rather act immediately rather than postponing the pain. And hence we had to act on this DG because we could not postpone the pain. I'm sure when Squire was speaking here, and because I don't want to jeopardize the disciplinary processes, there are issues that were really painful. There was delay on the approval of plans. There was delay on the allocation to province, to regions for projects to be implemented. There was a delay on the signing of the budget. It was supposed to have been signed in June. It got signed when? It was supposed to be signed in March. It got signed sometime in June. Although, it's your core business. So we'll deal with those issues. And I know it looks bad, but you rather deal with the pain now than prolonging it, especially on the non-negotiables of a function and where there can't actually be any justification and where your own program gets delayed because submissions, over 200 submissions are lying there, they have not even been opened. It's bad publicity, but it's in the interest of efficiency because, again, we get accused if we become indecisive. We could have come back here and said, no, these things were delayed, but again, we would have said, where is your leadership? Why didn't you act? Consequences. Well, how do you... It is those things that I really want to raise here. On the accruals and the overdraft, there's going to be a submission done here by the DG. And it would explain the progress that we have made. I think we have moved beyond where you are, Chair, on the concerns that you are raising, and as well as on the, there will be an update on what is coming through the budget adjustment that before Treasury. Part of what is also been happening now is that there is a committee of the DG of National Treasury and the DG in our state. And what is it, MISA, Human Settlement, to now come and interrogate exactly these problems that we have in water and sanitation, and be able to appropriate responsibilities to the other parties. And that's where, because some of these accruals and all these issues have to do with projects being stretched, and the challenges of the drought, that we only got less than, 216 million, that's all that we got, but we had to do with everything and anything that has been asked from the public up to what Honorable Chauke is doing now, going to the President. And I'm happy that you say you've raised it to the President, he's going to come back to the Minister. And I hope he'll have to go back also to the Mayor, and an answer will be found, which is something that should not happen. Shouldn't happen. It doesn't need a president for us to do our bit of work. But I'm happy that you are inviting the president. I hope he will extend an invitation to the mayor and the team. Never mind ourselves, we will come. Because what is of importance is what you are raising, Honorable Person, the commitment. And by the time the president leaves, that commitment must be made.
Okay, let's allow Mr. Mguni. This becomes our very last. It's, yeah. Just in less, you're going to be in no more than a minute.
Yes.
No preamble, no introduction.
Okay, you may start counting now. Minister, you know, I have noted in your response, and even in our visit to the last visit to report, I have seen that the department has done its job.
There was an introduction.
With the issue of the bulk supply of water. then my question comes in, do we have any database? Does the department, I don't know, can it be the Department of Water or COPTA, does it have any database for evaluating of this quality reticulation network, which might be required from each province, or rather even national, which will also include the what is called the costing of this networking, which comes right from the source to the tap, because that's where service delivery projects come in. The water in the tap, not water from the source. And in this issue of these people who have been charged and then they came back, you know, it's very difficult sometimes to work when you know there's a black cloud hanging on top of your head. You don't know what is happening. You see, if this thing can be expedited, we make sure that when they work, everyone works there. And there is a large number. You know, if 3-4 DGs or senior managers are charged, it's a problem. If it can be expedited, if there's nothing, let it be dropped and people start working.
Thank you, Mr. Minister.
Thank you very much. It was 2 minutes that was left. I was still counting while I was talking. Thank you very much.
Chair, the executive authority and the legislation minister, where are we with the draft legislation? And I think maybe if you can just say it as to that, because that's one area that we have to say.
That is a good assumption. Deputy Minister?
Thank you, Chair. I just said before the minister that the meeting last week, we were invited by Scholar, and the portfolio committee came in the middle of the meeting. But questions that were asked were more on issues of reticulation than backwater supply, which I think what Honorable Basson is raising, it is quite important that we also raised it in the meeting, that the meeting of us and the local government minister of COPTA is very important, because we found ourselves answering the reply that are supposed to be answered by them. Mm-hmm. And the issue of the DDG acting, we did explain that the DG acting, the DG is out of the country and the minister. So we knew that actually DG cannot leave the department without having somebody acting on his behalf. Lastly, Chair, I just want to say the issue of the food, Chinese food, came that came in the meeting was asked by Honorable Baker, and Honorable Baker said they even bring their food, the Chinese. Then he said, no, bring evidence. I don't think in the civil will bring their food. So I just want to clear it before the minister is. Thank you very much.
And by the way, you know that now they're getting their beef from South Africa. The first confinement to China is actually on its way now. Over 30 tons of beef, which is good.
As you continue, Minister, if you can also just very quickly as well about those that have been suspended. Talk about the seconded CO to Overbeck. Now they're in the department.
Wonderful. Yes. Thanks. No, Chair, the issues around the reticulation, the back to basics study, as well as our own planning part in the department, have information firstly on reticulation, on quality reticulation. We do have information that has to do with compliance by municipalities, and we can indicate those that do not have the capacity and those that have the capacity. But the back to basics actually even went to an extent of picking up those where they spread per municipality. And that is the information that is now being used in this area that I'm talking about, that the DG of Treasury, the DG of COPTA, our DG Human Settlement are now sitting together, because this issue of quality reticulation and information as to what exists in the country must now, we, because of our own frustrations, must now be put as something that must be a non-negotiable for every municipality, because not all of them even have the information. If I may say, most of the municipalities have not, have no internal capacity. You've raised the issue of Kanyagudi. It's that kind of an experience, Honorable Mugudi, where there is absolutely no capacity. You build, you do all those things, you finish, and at the end of the day, they must then go and look for a consultant to come in and do this kind of plan for them. Then they want money from us to pay them for the consultant's work done. That time, there isn't yet water in the tank. So it is those things that we were talking about on those issues that that we say require all of us to deal with them. Chair, before I forget, the National Council of Provinces has actually become also an interested party on the water supply very chain. And they have actually been quite helpful, because what they have done through their provincial teams in the NCOP, they are pulling information together, and I think in the term that I'm in, we have had now 3-4 interactions with the NCOP starting last year, where they are now summoning the MEC for finance, the MEC for COCTA in a province, the municipalities, and then collectively sit with the chair of the NCOP and the provincial representatives and the DG of the province and say these are the problems in this province, in these municipalities. Let's talk collectively, what are we going to be doing? And they've unblocked some of our problems in the Northwest. They've unblocked some of the problems, particularly in the Free State. There's also been some work done in the Eastern Cape. So I think that collaboration of these interventions becomes quite important. With the last parliament taking parliament to the people, they also gave a report to the Free State on their own. And then they brought us to come and account on what we have committed. And they brought the municipalities to come and explain. And they brought constituencies from different parts of the Free State. And if I can tell you now, Chair, I saw that working very well, because even the Minister of Finance was there. He also had to come in and talk on the monies that are going to local government, the state of financial capacity of local government. I saw it as something quite necessary to follow for all of us, because it was ourselves, it was COPTA, it was the Minister of Finance. And it really worked, and then they pulled in education and health because of their own challenges on water. And I'm just citing that because I saw it quite being very innovative and accounting and resolving, and then having the NCOP taking us back to go and report. So it is something that I also want to propose, Chairperson, that we look at it. The next leg of this work that we are now doing is in KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo. So I would suggest that through our parties and our representatives in the NCOP, we also follow and make input in that particular process. And it's done by the chairperson, it's championed by the chairperson herself. And she calls the ministers to those committees. And I really believe it has also helped us, because we now have allies who are helping us to get all of us under one roof. The consequence management, they were not charged, member group. The reason why they came back is, again, in terms of our labor laws. If you have not charged the person has to come in, and until then you charge the person. So it is that stage that we are actually at. And hence I've said that with Mr. Singh already, he has been charged because the work was done and it had to be served to him. And the charges don't bother more on corruption and stuff. Some of it is about maladministration, dereliction of duty, failure to manage your team, and failure to implement the annual performance plan. All those recommendations of the Auditor General and the report of the Portfolio Committee to the Parliament. The review, Honourable Chauke, the Water and Water Services Act review. We have also gone to our clusters in government. There's been a request for further consultation and engagement with them, and my understanding, so you may correct me, it would come in the last quarter. We hope that by the last quarter we'll bring it here, because part of what we should be careful about is that this review is gonna, this whole issue of the review of the Water Act and the Water Services Act also borders on the roles and responsibilities and local government and our municipalities and stuff. And it is also going to help us on the future water master plan for sanitation, for water and sanitation in South Africa. So once it is at that process, and I'm sure Mr. Mkhize can also elaborate on that in detail when he responds. The thing, Mr. Chauke, that Honorable Chauke, that is quite important on this is that we would want the Portfolio Committee to hold extensive public hearing, and obviously with the discussions we have had, it won't even be this Portfolio Committee alone. You would also need to be inclusive, and the issue about organized local government becomes very important. The issues around the financial implications is quite important. The last issue that has also been identified by the other sector departments on this, it's the capacity that has to be created. And on our side is the progress on the establishment of a water agency, and in other areas it's the responsibilities that other departments have never had before. So we are at that stage of the interaction. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yeah, let's thank the Minister for the time she provided us. If there are any further issues, the department is still here, the Deputy Minister is still here. And of course also the Minister is not here for the last time. Okay, thanks for that, Minister. Members, we have up until 4 o'clock. There is lunch served. We have decided that we should take this much time on this first quarter report so that we trash out literally everything that we wanted to trash out. Okay. You want to comment, Deputy Minister or DG, on any of the issues raised further? Or you wanted us to be taken through the submission itself?
Yes, that's what I was going to propose, Chair. That's really, yes, thanks. I think the DG will take us through. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister.
Let's hold a bit.
No, I'll say, Chair, that with the presentation that we're dealing with, unless there be changes that the department has to amend their presentation, you recall that the department was given an opportunity to present the quarter report, and then March was of clarity that there was. I'm raising this on the basis that I hear you say that we are basically moving until 4 o'clock. And when I look at that, just I'm like, you see the one that's engaged on. But because I thought that they've already done a presentation. presentation would be just to zoom into those subjects rather to start from zero again, which will help us so that we get more experience.
We want to be on board
eventually we've got to take that bill to Parliament eventually. So, I really plead with the department, give us the draft you are busy on. I understand the consultation that you are busy with. So if you've got something that there needs to be further consultation, give us what you've done so far. Then we won't ask these questions over and over and over again. Thank you, Chair.
Mr.
Chair, in fact, we are going through the State Peer Department. You see, they for us to track is through this quarter reports, Chair. And in this quarter, we're supposed to have now got the draft being continued. Now, it becomes difficult that you, hence I raised the point, people that I was raising it, to try and track where is it now. If the department has to amend, they are not meeting their target. It must be made very clear to us, format in fact, not rather than in this fashion. That format is that becomes key in fact. The issue of legislation becomes very key on this. Therefore, it will be important that the department will have to communicate and say we are unable to meet the target on this key area of performance, which is your legislating making process on the new bill. And therefore, we are now dealing with new time frames. It becomes easy for us to be able to track, because this exercise that we're doing here is to track, look at the targets that we have set up in the IPP to say, by this time, we'll have given you the draft of the what's called Water Act. And therefore, we are not able to meet it. At this quarter, we're supposed to open the state and then give us information as to why you are not able to meet it and where to shift it. What is now the next target that you are now looking at? Because all of us will have to be fast with regards to that process. So for me, it's not the best thing, but it's just to communicate in a proper understanding that in your APP, you said the first quarter, you are going to be tabling this, what you call the first quarter. You remember, we dealt with this from last year. And then, therefore, first quarter comes in, still not there. So you must be able to raise, hence the report must be able to say, we are not able to meet the target due to the following, and therefore we are now shifting the target to the following. So then you put it there. Then we agree, so it does not create confusion. So you go to the second quarter chair again, you're going to have the same situation. Hence, Honorable Basson now raises a fact. But give us information. We are not communicating with us around this issue of the, the core responsibility with regards to that bill. Hence, the point that we discussed, Chair, I think, was that if the department is not able to come up with a bill, nothing stops this committee to start a process to ignite the bill. Nothing stops us. So we feel very strong from our side that this bill must come, and the department is unable to come with the bill. Therefore, the committee can then start its own process. And nothing stops the committee to do that. But we don't want to do it ourselves.
Just a quick one, Minister. Is this document classified? But why are we not able to get it? Simple question.
I think you are right. You are all right. The bill, our level of parliament, before it became the executive, the bill to be finalized, it had to come to the portfolio committee first. I think it's something that we need to come back quickly, and because we can't finalize it without you looking at it. So I think you're right. Maybe we need to find a day where we should come back and present it to the portfolio committee.
You see, Deputy Minister, you don't want us to get this document. Again, can I see it? We are rather more okay and safer if we work professionally. Yes, the document is going to come before us sometime in October, I would imagine. You were just saying, Mr. Kizer, you had an open
deal with it. Something is amiss.
Maybe before you respond, Chair, if you can get clarity, who is tasked to drive this bill? Is there a team in place? If so, who is the team leader? Because I'm trying to marry him to the point that is made by the Deputy Minister that maybe you may give us time again to come back. But the point that Honourable Gosson and the Chair is making is that if work is being done, why can't you present some of the work that you've done? But the point I'm making on my side is that if there's a team leader, there's a team within the department is led by so-and-so who are in that process. I think it would be important just to take us through so that we can then locate it proper to say, we now understand, we can now begin to solve that issue. I'm saying that this bill is very important because you know that we are not able to implement a number of transformational issues because of lack of that legislation. You know, I'm saying that if the department is unable to really provide us with the information that would make us understand that most of your targets, you're not meeting them because of the issues of transformation, because of lack of legislation. And for us, we have prioritized, together with the faculties, that this legislation becomes valid. The point I'm making is that, yeah, if the department is not able to move, they must be able to say, we have a problem here. Then we understand, we can then maybe help. If it's a capacity problem, because it said so that we are unable to move to start the process. And therefore, Parliament can initiate the process. There's nothing wrong. And once you initiate the process, the Minister in charge was beginning to say that Parliament must start to do, you know, a public hearing. So we need a base to do that. You don't just do public hearings without the base. You need a base. By the time the bill is sort of forwarded to Parliament, you then start with a public hearing. But we can start to do preparations informed by particular information that the department may give us. So your first draft will take it that it will be there. We'll have a workshop. The workshop cannot do anything else. But that workshop will have to have any kind of a guide, which is a draft in the next bill. And then there are other parliamentary processes, obviously, that they will have to get. Consultation with stakeholders is a process, and we want to get the detail of the team that is running, the timeline that is run. At this point in time, we're going to be able to give you a draft bill, especially when it goes to cabinet, and once it's approved by cabinet, then sent to parliament. Then parliament then takes its own way, I think, it will then do its own exercise and oversight, amending the call for public hearing. And this is final, that once in Parliament is final, can't go back unless we send it back for ourselves. You know, but once it's in Parliament, it means that Parliament has then been swept and can public hearing amend whatever clause is done. And then it gets passed. For me, it's very important because that bill is a transition. And from the party where I'm sitting, the mandate that certain things are supposed to have happened before we even go to the next conference of the NSC. I'll just put it for record sake because I represent the party. I know that I'm a member of parliament here, but there's a particular arrangement that they have to be made. So the more you delay, it's going to create more involvement, but it's going to impact negative on transformation in the water sector.
Maybe a single question, Deputy Minister. Do we have this bill in our annual performance plan?
I'm saying we do have a draft. We might have missed to present it here, but there is a draft, and there was a need for further consultation on the cluster side. So if the request is made that we need to come and present it, we can come and present it, but we can make the draft available immediately. I was not aware of the request that we had to bring it today to the committee. But it's not a classified document. It can be made available.
Okay. You wanted to get some of the
soon. Let them send that to Maria so that they can send it to us. We can go through, and then when we're ready, we will schedule a time. But that we can see what work has been done.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, let's go ahead.
Thank you. Then the minister also asked me to speak on the issue of the City Wayne Regional Sanitation Scheme. We did provide a document. This is a mega sanitation project that entails about five projects. The first one being the upgrading of the Meyerton wastewater treatment works. On the supplementary presentation you submitted on page on the
page 24
on the sediment. All employees deserving bonuses were paid according to the agreed payment rate. an earning rate per employment category we made transparent to all the laborers, and private security was employed to protect labor and contractors, and SEPS was requested to be visible around the site on a 24-hour basis. And all these civil-paying related challenges have now been addressed by the technical steering committee, which report to political steering committee, which established by the Minister of Water and Sanitation. There are also issues of theft and vandalism, and the intervention that have been made. The security task team led by SEPS was established to address theft and vandalism and all other criminal activities on site. Also, private security was employed, and SEPS have been more visible around the area. And the department, Sediment District Municipality and Rainwater, consolidated the rainwater and district private security companies to strengthen security on site to prevent theft and vandalism. Intervention made with regard to sewer spillage and water contamination into Richgrave Stream in Everton. The department conducts in continuous monitoring of water quality on a monthly basis. In 2015-16 and 2017 financial years, the department issued 3 notices. That is Caribou Street storm water on N1 and R28, pump station number 5 in Perenifer, and 2 directives in Caribou Street storm water and pump station number 5 in Perenifer to Mfuleni Municipality for failure to address the pollution caused by the failing infrastructure of the municipality. In June 2015, the minister intervened by including local wastewater treatment works in a short-term intervention project list in order to address pollution in the rural water management area. The interventions included operation and maintenance to the tune of plus or minus 36.4 million. The department also assisted the Mfuleni local municipality to secure 8 million from COFTA on a big grant in order to refurbish the failing infrastructure on the N1 R28 roads. Intervention that were made for the sewer spillage from the Bonsie hostel polluting the risk rate. In 2014, a notice was issued to the Mfuleni local municipality to address the sewer spillages. Housing Provincial Department of Human Settlements commissioned a project to address the issues at the former Caesar Hostel project, and subsequently the spillage has been stopped. So this is the progress on the that has been made on the Sedibeng Regional Sanitation Scheme to date. Then I'll go back on the first issue that was raised on the Regional Portfolio Committee on the issue of the money owed to the contractor at year end and provide the progress with that regard. We reported the total accruals and payables at year end of 1.5 billion, and of that we said 943 million were related to accruals and payable for infrastructure projects. A further 121 million rand was for payables for normal goods and services other than infrastructure projects, and a further 399 million rand was for sanitation of BEP. To date, 921 million has been paid as of 7th of September, and we have contractual disputes with some of the service providers for the balance that is not yet paid. We have provided a detailed list of the service providers that have been paid to date, and also the list of the ones where we have contractual disputes. Then there was a question about the over expenditure in the department. we reported an over expense of 110 million. And we'll present this to Parliament for condonement. And the question was whether the National Treasury has provided any condonement in that regard. And our response is that we'll present this to Parliament either to condone it or decline it. And if declined, then it will be a charge against our allocation for the current year. Then the third question was on the reprioritization of the 2017-18 budget. And in this submission of today, we made mention of the number of projects that will be affected by the reprioritization. Firstly, we say our water services infrastructure grant was reprioritized, all the 6B allocation were reprioritized to cater for the accruals. We only had projects in the KZN and the Northwest municipalities which will be implemented, that in Nongoma and Madibeng. ACIP, of the ACIP allocation, we said 214 million has been reprioritized to cater for the accruals for the bucket eradication program. The plan to initiate 52 new projects has been deferred. Only three KZN projects that were committed during the last financial year will be implemented. On the AFBIC regional bus infrastructure grant, 344 million has been reprioritized from 71 slow-moving projects under construction to cater for accruals. However, the project earmarked for completion are currently not affected. I think on 4th, the rest of the minister did the report on those ones, as well as on the water licenses. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You done? Okay, those were partly additional as per response to the letter addressed to the minister. We do have that letter that covers a number of issues, spectrum department. Part of those are issues that have been there in the past reports, and also that also we picked up in the course of our duty. Among those is this very issue that Acting DG spoke about related to the City Bank water scheme premised on our oversight visit in 2015. I remember it was on my birthday, 5th of March. Now these are some of the issues, as I said, that would have been there. Are we fine with that response? Of course, we certainly must have read through the submission itself. Hence, we are not going through the submission, only just to cover a few areas that have not been covered in the submission itself.
Chairperson, the previous, when this was presented, I asked the question, we are dealing with the first quarter. So that will give us April, May, June, July. June. Okay. Till end of June. But in this report, the management report on page 3 of the report, they said they paid 886 million to date. And I've asked a specific question. How much money did you pay in the first quarter? Till June. Because you're giving us now till date, today, or 23rd of August. That takes you to the second quarter. So I want to know how much was paid in the first quarter. Not to date. And that was a question that we've already asked them to prepare themselves to be in the first quarter, not today. It could be that they haven't paid anything in the first quarter and they've only started paying now, and then we get the impression that this was done in the first quarter and it was then only done in the second quarter. So on that one, Che, if we can get an explanation on that, I would appreciate it.
Thank you, Chair.
No further questions for now? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. We updated information to include what we previously reported, but what was paid during the first quarter was 800, I think it's 823, the figure that we reported in previously. But since we are coming here again, we thought we'd update up to the last payment that was made for approvals. Hence the figure moved from 823 to 921.
On the budget expenditure, your target per quarter was 23% target expenditure. You are sitting at 15.1. Can you give us the reasons why you're not meeting the target on the expenditure, budget expenditure? Because the target was
given these grants that we have, these are conditional grants, and inadvertently we did mention that at the time, that we're certainly going to have a challenge with new projects and also with those that were there, whether or not they will be able to continue. One of those is what is referred to as a drop block. Now, which then takes me straight to an issue related to war only. Is war only a budgeted matter? Simple question. Is it a funded mandate? And how far have we gone in terms of expenditure on that war only? And what is the total budget that we're working on?
Maybe to add there, where do we locate it in the budget?
Actually, the APP.
Yeah, the APP.
Okay, well, I'll allow the CFO to respond on the over top first. And,
For record, we don't have the CFO. Can it be recorded from because the meeting is in the room? So that we are addressing tax 18. Is that the acting CFO, Chair? Am I correct? Or is the acting CFO? Can we get clarity on this appointment? Is the current acting CFO formally appointed on top of the acting CFO who is now on maternity leave, who is acting too? And how does it work? Can we just get clarity?
Ms. Manukuza was acting as a CFO up until the end of August. Then from 1st of September, since she went on maternity leave, then Mr. Franz Mwase has been appointed acting CFO.
So Manukuza is no longer acting now, because we now have Mr. Franz acting, appointed acting. Because I heard earlier when we were doing introduction, we were referring to something else, and the minister wanted clarity given the sending of the acting CFO. If you recall, Chair, there was a time that the minister was asking the name of the sending of the CFO, acting CFO, and it was given the name of Manukuza. Now, I want to understand this appointment now, Pastor V, the acting responsible. Hence, you're supposed to have just confirmed that the acting CFO is yourself, rather than responsible. Because the accountability here, you have to be hold liable of what you are saying to the control committee here, at the level of your capacity as a acting, as a duly appointed. The issue must be clarified that Ms. Manukuza is not the acting CFO. It must be clarified. Because the minister was given the what you call earlier, and it's recorded like that. And maybe we can get the letter of the appointment too, since when you have been acting, if we can be finished with that letter of the appointment, so that we know that we speak with authority here, not much of you to come and say things that we don't have authority on. It's important for accountability process that those things are properly clarified. maybe I'll understand it here.
Sure. Sure, no, I do understand. Member of the committee. Chair, it's not the first time that the personal committee is asking about the structure of the department. I think rather than they may answer now, but I think if you have time, Chair, that one of the items should be that of having the structure of the department so that we answer once and for all of all the vacancies and people that are acting in the department. And I'm not saying they must not answer now, but it's important that so that we don't every time we come to the department, to the personal committee, we go back and answer the issue of people that are acting. Thank you.
Chairperson, can I just ask? This document they presented to us last time. This document we got this morning. The document is different. So on which one are we working? If you go and look at the information on money owed by the department, in this document it explains it. It's been taken out of this document. So this one I got this morning. I really don't know whether there's something else in this document that's also changed. I don't want to work on this document I got this morning. Because that one we have not gone through. And it's been changed. I'm really getting worried about, because when we write our reports, on which one of these two documents are we going to take our farm chairperson? Because the question I've asked on the amount was correctly given to us in the previous document. It was 886. That was on the 23rd. So, on the 23rd you said you paid 886. Now you say you think it was 882. I don't want us to think about it.
I don't think to the overdraft.
No, I'm talking about the payables to the contractors.
No.
Chairperson, so I'm looking for these information. That information that's on page 3 of the presentation I made previous one.
Let's allow them to
show us where this is in the
Let's allow them to proceed with their responses. And then we shall have to come back to that. Okay, Mr. Mkhize, are you done? The point is made by the Deputy Minister about the organogram of the department and who fits well in the department. Whether any vacancies or all of those features shall have to be clarified at that point. I'm not sure whether the question was responded to when I quickly jump out related to the seconded CO for Overbank, who's now back in the department, as to where does she then fit in the equation. And secondly, what qualification does it take for anybody to be the CFO? And what qualification does she have? She continues to be paid at CFO level. That's what I'm anticipating. But those are the details that we'll have to deal with at that point. Okay.
Chairperson, when we were here in August, I made a presentation and we left it professional. The only document that should be, an additional document, is in relation to the letter that you received. The one that our giving not a, a sure figure of 882 or 832. I was not looking at the figure before me. But the right figure is the figure that I presented when we were here last time. So, the 886, as you rightfully say. So the 921 came because the CFO added more payments that were made up to the 7th of September. So, but if we talk about the first quarter, is a figure that we presented when we were here in August. Then in terms of institutional arrangement, yes, Mr. Mwaki is legally appointed as the acting CFO. Mr. Manukos was acting end of August, and she was not mentioned to me. But I wanted Paul Nell, the acting CFO for water trading, to explain the issue of overdraft, and then I'll move on to the war on leaks problem.
Maybe before he comes in, can we then get the level of appointment? Before he was appointed, what position was he? because if you were to look at the targets in they tell you that there's never been proper oversight. Because if you look at what the department said to achieve, and the explanation that was given, it's clear that there's never been oversight to make sure that invoices are in place in time and transfers are made in place in time. There's never been oversight. And you are now going to take that responsibility as a thing that you have not done before. Hardly choose in your appointment. I'm not sure where. You know. So you must know whatever that you say counts on you. That the incumbent who has done for you.
My actual recollection is that Mr. Mukokeng is back. He is back. So he's not here today. He's off sick. That answers a number of your questions. Okay. Sam?
Thank you, Jay. The water trading entity had an overdraft of 2.675 billion at 31 March at year end. 2.675. National Treasury froze our accounts the next week, the first week in April. They froze our accounts. They wouldn't let any payments go through. They sent us a letter saying that only the salaries go through and payments to TTTA. They wanted us to come back and show them how we're going to repay the overdraft. So we had to, when we did our budget, 2.675 overdraft, which will differ from the figures in the financial statements, because we had money in our F&B accounts. So we've got commercial banks, and then we've got our account with the Reserve Bank. The Reserve Bank was overdrafted 2.675 billion. We had about 400 million in our other accounts. If I can explain that, the way it works is if you pay us money, you'll pay it into F&B or APSA, one of the other accounts. At night, the evening, it will automatically roll into the Reserve Bank account. So although we've got other accounts, we can't make a payment. We don't have an account. We can't make any payment out of that account. Automatically, each night, it clears automatically into the Reserve Bank account. But they look at the balance at 31 March. They looked at the balance. And that's the overdraft. So that's what the overdraft is based on. That's what is the difference between our cash balances and the overdraft. So they wanted us to show what we're going to do to reduce the overdraft. When we did our budget, we took our estimated income, excluding any recovery from old debt. We said we're not going to bring in that because that might not happen. We've learned now that didn't happen. So we took the money that we get from Treasury, 1.5 billion, plus the money that we'll get from sale of water. So that's our revenue. So our initial budget, we said that's available, and we allocated all the money. So we came with a zero budget. We said that's what we're going to get in. This is how we're going to spend it. It will be a zero surplus or deficit. But then they came back and said, no, that's not good enough. You must show us how you're going to pay back the money. So we had to go back to our budget, and we had to go and cut most of the infrastructure projects that we had to go and cut to make a show of savings. So it has negatively affected the infrastructure project to the tune of 758 million. The agreement was that within 3 months, by the end of June, we've got to reduce the overdraft by 200 million, and in total, by 31 March 2018, it's going to be 748 million we've got to reduce the overdraft by. I think so that's the agreement with Treasury, 200 first 3 months and then 748 for the year. And where we're going to get the money to do that is we have to cut the infrastructure project by that figure. So if our revenue is what we said, if our revenue comes in what we said it would be, and we've been conservative because we're not taking all this in, and we stick to our budget, that means we'll have a surplus of 748 million, which will go towards reducing the overdraft.
Good question. The PFMA does not allow that you use ARBIC funds because it is a conditional grant. So what they're doing now, they're taking the conditional grant that is ring-fenced for infrastructure and paying back the Reserve Bank. So they're funding their debt to pay the Reserve Bank. They're funding it with a conditional grant, which is not... You're not using it. You just said he's using it.
No, well, no. There's an entity, there's a main account. ARBIC funds are on the main account. The entity doesn't have ARBIC funds.
Chairperson, we were just informed now, then you must explain it, that his words were that we are reducing our infrastructure. So where do you get that money? So what you use is, okay, do I understand you wrong? You use your income that would have been allocated for infrastructure grants, are you using now to pay them? Your income. I'm not talking about the main account. I'm talking about your money that you're getting for water. Those are allocated to infrastructure development, and now you're using that to pay your overdraft. Explain that so that we're on the same page.
If I may answer, we're not talking about the infrastructure draft. We're talking about things like in Zimbabwe, we're talking about the Mitwe Dam, we're talking about the Nin, raising of the Nin Dam, Ken William Dam. So that's not public money at all. That's completely infrastructure. But
these are projects that are going to stop.
Slow down.
Precisely because you need to cover yourself on this one.
We need to reduce overdraft, yes.
Yeah, which is what we said in the time. That you will certainly have a situation where some of the projects are going to come to a stop, even if it's for a while. So that's what we said. Precisely because we were insisting on the question as to how will this course be taken care of.
Again, we're mixing it up.
And then, of course, we talk about the Reserve Bank overdraft team. Combined,
we
talk here to a figure of $4 billion, right? Am I right?
What is 4 billion?
Your accrual together with your Reserve Bank.
We have an overdraft of 2.675. But that's just accrual. We don't have any accrual in WC. The accrual you're talking about is main account. We've got an overdraft. So we never kept anything back. We kept on paying everything in WC. We kept on paying. And that's what overdraft is up for them. So it's not that we held anything back. We don't have accrual except in a normal business. But yes, we've actually, on the projects I'm talking about the Nin Dam raising. We actually, things that we're busy with, the design, we had to complete that. So when the design was finished, we said, now we're going to stop. So wherever there was a commitment, when somebody was already busy with something, we continue that, and then we stop. And then as soon as the budget allows, we'll continue with those projects. But that's not our big project.
In the quota report, what is your involvement? Where you are funding, what are you funding for? People deal with the water report. When your budget can be chopped and changed there, the entity, water shedding entity there. What is your involvement in the APP of the but of the main account?
We've got our own project that we're going to work on.
Why are you speaking on the main account?
I'm not. We've got our own project away from my account altogether.
So in the APP, therefore, your project gets affected, which the department has put in the APP. I'm just trying to understand that, but I'm just out of order. The projects that we have that are going to start, are they reflecting in the APP of the department? Now that's the question I'm asking you. You're not talking to me.
I want your record. Yes, we've got four projects in the APP. In the total APP, there's four projects that were listed in the APP. It was raising of the Nin Dam, it was Hazelme Dam, it was the Lumitwa Dam, and Ken William Dam.
So what are the implications of that in the APP? So it means that the department will not be able to meet the target. So is that issues, are they reflected in the current report that we're doing now? What we are dealing with in the report of the department in the APP, are we reflecting on that report? On the, because I'll take it that per quarter, there will be a particular achievement that we put for that in the APP. I'm trying to locate why you are speaking, vis-a-vis the issues that we're trying to understand from the
In the APP, there's four projects continuing. The only Hazelmere Dam was the one that was going to be completed in this financial year, which we still hope to complete. So others are continuing. Okay. It just means it's slow.
Change of budget. Is that the money that we have appropriated, or is the money that we raised from the saving of water? If it's money that is being appropriated that we cut and chop, this is not the money that we have. It's separate money. It's separate money on the main.
Okay. Let's finish on. Sorry, Mr.
Chairperson, so what I didn't take is that at this moment there's four projects you're talking about. Let's use it Le William as an example. You went out on tender, but it's not been awarded yet. The main reason for that is because you don't have funding for it. Is that in essence? So that means that, and the reason why you've got this overdraft is to make sure that you pay TCTA, because you have to use the overdraft to pay TCTA out of. That's why you increase from 400 million to 2.6 billion. That was to make sure that the money, the loans that TCTA had to pay on other projects was honored, because there's government guarantees on those. Do you understand that correctly?
If I can just, TCTA was part of it. But when we did our budget for that year, 16-17 year, National Treasury, that year that they cut us 2.6 billion in that financial year, saying you've got to use your debtors, you've got to recover money from your debtors, and that's what you've got to use. So we're going to cut you. We don't want you to stop any projects. Continue doing what you're doing, but you've got to utilize the money that you're going to recoup from the municipalities and water board, the old debt. So the budget, the expenditure was based on the income. The income said we're going to recover that money. So we stuck to the budget, the expenditure side. We spent all the money according to the budget. The problem is the revenue never came in. That money that we were going to recover from the water board municipalities, that part didn't happen. So we TCTA is part of it. We were going to pay them, but we paid other things as well. Everything in the budget, we stuck to our budget. We paid everything. But the revenue was the problem in that year. That's why this year we're not including any recovery of all this. If it comes in, it's going to be a bonus for us.
And about the debt collection?
We're still continuing. We're taking steps to collect the money, but we say we haven't committed, we haven't assumed we're going to receive the money and allocate it anyway. When the money comes in, then we can look at how we're going to allocate it. If we're going to use it, or if we're going to spend more to prepay the overdraft, then we'll make that decision. But once the money's in the bank, until the money's in the bank, we're not going to spend it or commit it.
Sure. Okay, let's allow me to speak.
Okay, I'm just following on with what Honourable Chowke said. These projects then in the APP should be under Program 3, Infrastructure and Development, those projects that are being affected, isn't it? Okay, now when I'm looking at this, I just want to know which projects they are, because when I'm looking at this bridge that we've got, it's only one project. The order funds that say insufficient budget allocation and therefore suspended. Which are the other ones? Which are the projects that are suspended? Or put on hold, should I say?
Yes,
Thank you, ma'am. The projects have not been suspended. Put on hold. We are on design. What we then did was to tell the service providers to operate within the allocated budget, because which means they had to reduce the pace, but we did not put it on hold. That means it's still under design, and the demolition process is taking place in Zanin. Nwamitwa, we are continuing with design. Hazelmere, we are full speed on construction. There is a possibility of a very huge VO that may be coming from that. We were supposed to finish Hazelmere this financial year. We did not cut the budget of Hazelmere because we had plans to finish it this financial year. However, we have just received a very huge claim from the contractor that has since requested that we subject it to a panel to review it, because it's around more than 100 million. Before we even take it to to National Treasury, because definitely you need National Treasury if it's about 20% of the budget. So, and Umzimvu will still under supply. What we did was to say, stagger and reduce the pace, and go for those that were under design. But for Hazelmere, because it was already under construction, it will continue to. Glenn William, remember that the designs were completed and we had halted it last financial year. This financial year is still like that because we did not have funds for Glenn William, but we have budgeted for it next financial year. I think what is also not coming out clearly from the CFO is that if you look at the trend of our of the money that WTU was augmented with, we're talking around $3 billion. But there was a huge cut from National Treasury as well. It is not only that we could not get the revenue, but the cut, they also had an impact on our program. And we were asked that financial aid by Treasury to say, revisit your plan. It's no longer like it used to be. There is just no money in this financial aid. Hence, we then said, let's take a decision in principle that whoever is not yet on site, let's not go on site because it's going to be too costly to go on site and stop.
If I can just process, only the Hazelmere that there's under construction, the others are designed for it, so hence, okay.
Mr.
Chairman? Yeah. No, my concern is that in the previous report, the department only achieved 80% of the target, and the spending was 101%. We're in the first quarter again. I'm going to see the very committee. It's not correct. Now, what we must do, Chair, is that areas that you have not met the target. That's why I want to give you the quarter report. It must be clear that these are areas that we said we are going to do the following. We are still the APP. We have not managed to achieve the following due to the following reason. And that's what the report must come to us about going to the first one. Now, the issue that I want to come in is that these projects are under the word targets that we have seen. And with the chop and change that has happened, we are not going to meet those targets anymore. Is that my understanding? And therefore, where do you reflect that in your presentation that you are dealing with today? Just help me to go with you. What we are trying to do, in fact, this exercise here, is that it's going to help us when we go to the next quarter. You will then know exactly what is being carried over. You are now going to the battle in the second quarter with targets that you are not able to do. For example, payments of invoices. That from the start, you are starting the project. Moving to the next quarter again is going to be the same, or not worse, if not worse. Come the end of the year, you are now stuck with this money in the last quarter that you want to dish out, or you are not able to pay it because you have not received invoices and all of that. So the first quarter for me is very critical, that we do an honest assessment of where we are standing, are we meeting our targets? If we are not meeting our targets, what are the problems? But again, the partnership between yourselves and Parliament, because I also believe that there must be a gap between what we do as we chop and change. This engagement becomes very critical when you become honest, because there's a partnership we have entered. That budget that we have passed, we passed it because based on the APP that we have put before. And if you're not able to meet that, we come back to Parliament and say, we want to review. And this quarter here, that's the time that we then say that want to review some of the targets that we said we set ourselves and we're not going to meet them. Then there's a clear understanding moving forward. When you get to the next quarter, we know what is the carryover of the previous quarter. You know? So I thought that must be the language that I'm able to understand you in that fashion. Hence, we emphasize in this point of this partnership with Parliament must not just be a formal partnership, just informal, where you just come and present. You must be able to talk to each and every area that you have not met the target, as you have said. I mean, we raised the issue of legislation. following. Therefore, we want to ask Parliament, because we have adopted that what's called the APP in the House. The APP of Parliament was adopted by the House. So we're now coming to ask the portfolio committee to amend or to change some of the targets. And these are the new what's called the time frames that we are putting in. It sort of disorganizes the whole system that we put in place.
Okay, well, why don't we allow the department just to go through a number of responses, and then we just make notes on some of those areas. Otherwise, we might end up not concluding on some issues.
Can I just ask you something that Honorable Chaffee said, because it's relevant what he said now?
Mm-hmm.
Chairperson, this department is ranked the fifth worst department in the country when it comes to spending of money, according to National Treasury. They overspent on Program 3 last year 31%. However, they have underspent 29.2% in the first quarter of this year. Now, Chair, I can't understand this. That's where this 100 million comes overspent, comes here out of Program 3. And you sit with the accruals. So yeah, something is not, something is not tying up for me. And see, I want us to get the, I have asked it the previous time, but I haven't received it yet. I want to see out of what programs they have paid what on the accruals. Those 868 million has been paid. Out of what programs has this been paid? So we get a sense of, did we really spend money or did we just pay the previous year's accruals? And that's what's not coming forward. And Chair, it is important. This is National Treasury that says that this department is the fifth worst in the country when it comes to spending on their budget. And we've got a history of that. They can't spend it, they've lost 2 billion. Last year they overspent. What's going to happen in this financial year? Eventually it stops projects. We've just heard now. King William Dam. You know, Chairperson, that dam would have been completed by, I think it was 2019. If there's no funds now, and they must pay that money off by March 2018, the all projects is just going to be a knock-on effect. Then that project of 2.055 billion will maybe end up at 3.055 billion when they start with the project. So eventually it's ratepayers that's going to pay for this, and people downstream of that river, they are suffering. You can't, there's no water. At the moment that dam is at 22%. Now that's not the department's fault because it is not raining. But if it rains, it would have been completed by 2019. Now, maybe 2021 we'll get this thing completed because there's no funding. So, Chair, really, this department needs to up the act and see what will happen in the second quarter. If the first quarter is where we are at the moment.
That gets to be your net effect, Deputy Minister, in the control officer. That gets to be the net effect. You see, when these projects are put on a hold, Hitler taught us that a project like Mzimbo, yes, it has not as yet kicked off. But there have been some preliminary works there. At some point it would have been 12 billion rand, but due to delays, which is what is exactly we are going through now. As we speak now, we are told that project is valued in terms of cost at no less than 20 billion rand. Whether, I guess that's the relevant question, whether have there been any costed on the future scenarios on those stalled projects? done in sums as to the impact financially in terms of cost going forward. Currently, some of those projects that could have been this much in terms of cost today, going forward in next year, whether or not we'll still be talking about the same cost. Now, these are some of the issues that we need to take into account. It's not as simple as saying we need to make payments on this overdraft, and therefore having to stall some of these projects for later execution. It's not as simple as that. There are cost implications. Mr. Deputy Minister?
Chair, I do hear you, but I think as a department we are between the hard space and the... Because we had intensive discussion with the Treasurer before the budget was revised, where they said, you can't continue as normal, there's no money. You need to cut back, slow down. It was not just one discussion. We had various meetings with them where they even accused us, to say, you guys, you are continuing as if we did not cut your budget by over two billion. So obviously, at the end, you will see what we see now, where certain projects we have to slow down. Because if we carry on with those projects, we'll run a risk of not being able to pay the service providers. So we are adhering on what Trinidad advises. There's no new money. If you have done the design, stop at design stage. Don't go and appoint a service provider to go on site. Glen Ullin is a typical example where we went on tender, but we can't really take the service provider on site. How will we pay the service provider after they've done the work? So, as a department, yes, we take responsibility, but we receive money from the fiscals. If we are told, slow down, there's no new money, leave what we have given you. When the 2 billion was cut at the entity, it came in the middle of the year, outside the budget process. So immediately, we had to reprioritize. What was told at the time that you need to recover money from the municipalities. As we all know, all the municipalities are not paying us. We have been taken some to court. That has not yielded any results that we want to see, with the exception of the OR Tambo. But most of them, they are pleading poverty. We have asked them to cut the equitable share of these municipalities. They say they can't do that. We must forever do this process of trying to get our money from municipalities. Unfortunately, we can't cut our services in those municipalities. So let's
allow the department to continue. But I suppose we do. Clearly, we have a crisis, to be quite frank. We have a crisis, and we need to work together as to how then we're going to take this process forward. So let's allow the department. We will then have to come up with the proposals on the way forward together with the department. Okay? Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Chair, we've been answering this question. I don't know how many weeks now, saying the same things. I think the portfolio committee was supposed to assist us in terms of the money that were owed by municipalities. Because there's nothing that we can do. I even last time made an example of Eskom. That Eskom, Kuchoke, it's easy for them to get their money because they switch off the lights easily and then they get the money. But with us, there's no substitutes for water. We can't switch off the water and say we're going to get the water until you give us our money. So the only way to do it is to have that meeting that we requested of ICOPTA and us. And the minister of ICOPTA must tell us when are they going to give us our money so that we're able to do our work. So I think at this stage we do need requests from, we do need assistance from the portfolio committee in terms of the money that were owed by the municipalities.
We find that see the question of raising liability is more on quota. If you pay timeously for the department and also water boards. The responsibility is elsewhere. Now it's very similar to what you are going through, especially with regards to your water boards. You appoint the water boards to implement, and when there's a book out there, something not to the water board. Because it's an appropriation on you. You then appoint that implementing agent. When they make a mess out there, it does not reside there, it resides with you here. So I'm drawing that similarity. Let's proceed and conclude on your comments and responses to questions and comments. If there's still any.
Maybe to respond on Mr. Martin's. The Honourable Chairman asked about where he was. He's a chief director responsible for management accounting or budget management within the department, and he does have the requisite qualifications. For that position.
Part of that accountability.
possibility talk to a department that must be able to plan. As we speak now, there's a serious issue about that. Especially it relates also to project management. Now examples of this have been spoken about all the time. You won't get a borehole worth this much. And then this other day, the borehole costs have since gone up. You're going to have a project that is costed this much. Within no time, the price or the cost has since doubled, you know, tripled. You take a case in point of Guyana from 500 million. We are told today that easily this project could easily go up to 8 billion rand with all this financing. A case in point, an example rather, has been made by, you know, when we met with the AG's office the other day. They say here in this house, you're going to have a geyser. It's an emergency. But you end up refurbishing the entire house. That's what has been happening in the department. Unbudgeted for. Unmandated. Now that's what we are dealing with. But part of that accountability must talk to the department being able to say it is able to plan, it is able to project manage, it is able to do, it is able to check, monitor. Whether or not we are able to do any of those things is a big question. But most importantly, it is to act on any transgression. Whether or not we are acting on those, because that talks to consequence management. So that's what we are dealing with here, as we speak. And again, the question shall arise as whether or not, end of this financial year, we are going to have a qualified or an unqualified court. Big question. With all these irregularities and fruitless and wasteful expenditures. As a result of this very issue of planning and project management, that's where we are insofar as all of these issues are concerned. I thought, let me just make that general commentary. Members, I'm sure, will hone on some specifics. This is now trying to take us forward. Mr. Chauke, noted Mr. Basson, noted Mr. Speaker. Noted in Kosi, noted Tizo.
No, thank you. I think you have sort of covered the areas that I wanted to raise. But the point that I'll make, Deputy Minister, is that we don't gossip and meet officials one by one in the court. Myself, in fact, I don't do that post-class. What is very important is that it's how we understand oversight and accountability. And how we understand that if you have an incumbent who is the CFO appointed by the department and is underutilized and someone else is being appointed, it's tantamount to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And wasteful expenditure by PFMA requires that you must investigate, you must take action, you must recover the money. That's where it starts. It's no else except guided by that definition of FMA. Now, what we are trying to do, I think, Chair, is that in the last annual report, we dealt with a problem. And what we dealt with in the last annual report was that 88% targets were met, the rest were not met, the expenditure was very high. It's a serious issue. I mean, if we start again at the first quarter and we still allow these things to continue happening, it means that come the end of the year, you may in fact end up meeting only 10% of your targets, but the money will be finished. It's fruitless, that's wasteful expenditure, that's the regular expenditure that you're putting yourself in. And the Oversight Committee of Parliament must just approve, no, it's fine, thank you. the good thing is that Honorable Basson does it very well. If he's not happy about anything, Honorable Basson writes to the department, and everybody will be jumping and making sure that they respond to Honorable Basson and query whatever query that there is. You know, we're trying to do it formally in the committee here. And we are treated like we dealing with gossips, I want us to be respected, please. We need to be respected. Because when we raise these issues, that the implication of failure to implement those programs, if they are in your APP, what is the implication in your first quarter and your second quarter? That's the point that we're trying to bring in. Because we're dealing with the APP that we are not meeting its target. And it becomes simple that now we are not able to do it last time because invoices did not come through. We are now paying them in the second quarter. That's the kind of an explanation that we must get. Then it's normal, then it's fine. Oh, thank you, now we got invoices. It's not. Someone somewhere failed to perform. So, come the second quarter, I'm telling you, we're going to be sitting with worse problems than this one. If we don't begin at the first quarter to address these issues. Water, National Water and Sanitation Master Plan. The targets are not being met there. For one reason, nothing else, there's no consultation. You have started a consultation, but it collapses somewhere. Your target, you're not going to meet your target, as we are concerned. So I'm saying that the partnership between the portfolio committee and the department of the APP is what we take to the House. And we debate that, we defend it, we agree that this is what the department says is going to do. Then the department comes back and says that we are not able to meet the target. That's what we must agree. We are not able to meet the target because of the following. It's not like we are attacking the department because we don't know what we're doing. The department must openly say that here we are not able because of the following challenges. Therefore, our target is going to shift. This is what the report must say. Shift to where? It means that we are now going to amend the APP somehow to accommodate that particular target that we are not able to meet it. That becomes the partnership that we do. On the budget, same applies. This portfolio committee passes the budget. We agree to adopt the budget, it goes to the House, we celebrate budget speech and all of that, people are invited, guests and everybody's there, everybody's eating, it's nice. But the partnership still remains between the portfolio committee and the department. You cannot do as you want, because there's that understanding there, which is legislated again. If there's going to be any shift of man and what, you come back to the committee to raise those issues. And we agree. Then we prepare a report, because this exercise that we're doing here requires a report that must go to the House. We have to prepare a report that goes to the House and says, we have met the department on the first quarter. These were the following issues that the department is unable to meet its targets because of the following. We table that to the House, and the House adopts the report. It's not just informal, it's exercise that we are doing here. Now, we raise the issue with the debt collector, and I want to hear you speaking on that issue again. And it's not a gossip, and we're aware that the money has been advanced to the debt collector of more than 200 million that was paid to the debt collector before it even started to collect the debt. What is the status? What was the resolution that we took last time in the Bulwark Chamber about the issue of the debt collector? What did we say? Now that we are here and we have been speaking, what did we say? We took a particular position on that. We went to an extent that says that please give us a list of all municipalities that owes you. And let it be the responsibility of the committee team that the committee would have to invite these municipalities, call them into one room, talk to them about the payment of this watch for and monies that are owed to the department. So I'm saying therefore that they may identify a number of things that are sort of a shortfall in meeting a target. The first thing is that you will not want to do it in your first quarter, that you start with mistakes in your first quarter. So we address those mistakes. Where we are not able to achieve the target, you say it. Here we are not able to achieve because of the following. Then it's easy. It's not a fight. It's easy. The partnership that is legislated between ourselves and yourself. So those are the issues that I working with this thing until when we arrive at the second quarter. It's ongoing, this exercise, until we finalize our report. It's ongoing engagement. But I think the approach that we must take, dear, is that the issue of that CFO must be addressed. And it must be addressed now before it becomes another irregular expenditure. Because if it fails to be addressed, in fact, definitely someone will have to pay out of his pocket. We'll have to make a recommendation to the committee that this thing was there, and that's why I emphasize the point that it's an administrative thing. That's the question of we find them there. You know, if we have to show you the qualification, that man, that person is a male nurse, whatever, it's a female nurse, whatever you may want to call it. But the fact is that the person is in a payroll. Then, portfolio committee must then say what? Condone it and say, fine, it's normal. This is what must happen. No, it can't be. Portfolio committee must be able to say that we need to address this issue. If you don't terminate the service of that, why are you keeping the person in the same cellar? That's the point that DG needs to talk about. The administration rests with you. Nobody has, and that's why I'm saying that the executive must always avoid to get involved on issues of administration. Get compromised with this thing. Take a stand, terminate that service if you have to terminate it. Or if you can't terminate it, definitely appoint that person to help to continue with the what's called position that he's appointed to help. If it takes you to court, you're going to lose the case. You're not going to win it.
Okay, thank you. All what Mr. Chalke is saying, we cannot condone negligence. Not on our watch. Maybe out there. And we really wish to get a report that begins to say there is an action that has taken place. That's all of us saying. We don't employ, we don't hire, we don't dismiss. We simply are making sure that the right policies are in place and they must be executed by those that implement. You are the implementer. At the end of the day, we must promote good governance. We must also be able to save ourselves. Indeed, the lives of our people out there are better served and they are improving. They are better served by competent individuals. We cannot promote negligence. We cannot.
Chairperson, affective issues. Firstly, the CFR talks about 2 billion rand that's been cut. 827 million was cut in the 16-17 financial year. 670 million was cut. 827 million was cut, and 500 million was cut in this financial year. I don't know where the 2 billion comes from. That's the first issue. Chairperson, the problem with the department is it's like a 100-meter race. They get late out of the blocks, and then you get the situation they come last in a 100-meter run because they can't spend. Whether they have the money, if they have the money, they don't spend it. When they don't have the money, we get accruals. So, Chair, that doesn't pick up. If you look at the history of the department, 14-15, 2 billion was given back to National Treasury. Couldn't spend the money. Next financial year, 15-16, 200 million was given back to the National Treasury, couldn't spend the money. Last year, overspend the money with 100 million, but 43% of the target reached. So, surely, Chairperson, this indicates over a period that the department does not have the ability to spend the money either wisely. Either they pay too much for projects, that's why they're underspending, and that I've asked twice. Now, in this portfolio committee, this is the third time. Are you paying too much for your projects because it's been delayed and that's why you don't reach your target? Or is it simply you don't have the capacity of spending it? Then the last question, Chairperson, and that's directly to Mr. Nkisi. The Minister indicated to us, and I'm now back on this lady that's been seconded, and I also haven't spoken to her, but Chairperson,
I smell a rat in this issue. And we've not, this is not the first time we are talking about it. We have the board here, and the next thing the minister dissolves everybody and puts administrator Mr. Buthelezi there. Now the question is, this lady was the CFO of the department. She's been seconded, transferred to the board for 18 months. Now, Mr. Mkhize, that position couldn't have been filled because this lady sits in there. She's just a seconded. Like your position as a CFO cannot be filled today permanently because you are seconded to act as a CFO. So my question to you is, weren't you also transferred from Gauteng on your old contract as a CFO in Gauteng to the CFO position on your five-year contract here? Isn't that the case, that you've been transferred, the same as Margaret and Diedrichs have been transferred?
No, I was not transferred.
Let's allow the rest of the questions in the paper, followed by enforcing, and lastly by Mr.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a bit confused. Are we still going to go through any of these documents, or is this it? This is it. Okay. The issue of debt was raised by municipalities. I would like to raise also the issue of debt by water boards, which was briefly raised as well. And one of the problems I have is, what kind of oversight do we have over what and how and where and why water boards spend their money? And I'm not just talking about the project. It was recently brought to my attention, and I'd like to single out a particular municipality, water board here in the department's presentation. And that is Mahali's Water. Now, if I look here, they're on the age analysis page. And they owe the department 36 million rand. Now, I know that Mahali's Water sent a huge delegation to Water Week in Sweden last week. Several junior officials, that I've been told, they've attended. How much did that cost? And why are we allowing things like that to happen when they owe the department so much money? Further to that, it was also brought to my attention that the CEO and the COO, I believe, who have been sent on a course, and bear in mind this is a 6-month course, some training in governance, and it really resonated with me because I know members of this committee like Mr. Nguni and I are studying governance at this university, and I think it's 36,000 for the whole course, which is over 2 years. And these people have gone on a 6-month course, and it's costing 650,000 rand for those two members of Mahali's Water. Now, in my opinion, that is highly, highly wasteful. And if you consider the fact that they owe the department a lot, 36 million rand, I think it's issues like that warrant investigation. But what can, I'm sure there's an HR policy with the board that allows development, human resource development, which I'm not against, but surely we've got to weigh up the costs and in light of what they owe the department as well. But what kind of account oversight does the department have over what happens at those water boards? But there's actually so many things here, but it's fine. Then another thing, whilst if we can just speak on the other, there's lots of targets that I've noted, and unfortunately it wasn't something I picked up when we initially looked at the APC at the beginning, earlier in the year. But there are certain targets which are not, they can't be quantified. But for example, the monitoring of the dysfunctional or the identified, the dysfunctional, wastewater treatment plot. There's 260 or something listed in the APP, but none of those are actually put into quarterly targets. And I think that is a problem when it comes to reporting, because when I look at the APP, it just indicates which they are, but it doesn't indicate which ones will be inspected in which quarter. And I think that then creates a problem for us when we are trying to assess the department's performance, quarterly performance, because how do we know how many are going to be assessed over perhaps the DDG of infrastructure, or I'm not sure which area it falls in. Some of them are, if I look at some of the other areas, other PPIs further on, like number of water supply systems assessed for compliance with Blue Drop, that's put into quarters, but those non-functioning wastewater plants are not. So it makes it difficult, because how do we evaluate those targets? Just something to consider, Chair. But please, the expenditure, the water board and the expenditure, I'm really concerned about that.
Chairperson, all I heard was raised by other members before. I think I don't know to repeat what has been said. It was with regards to the delayed payments for the service providers, which was setting them up for failure at the end of the day. So the issue has been put out that the unqualified staff member who has been tasked to do the job, as far as I could maybe for a book or understand, Jefferson. So, not a question. Yet.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. Although most of the members have covered me, but I feel I should emphasize the following. You know, I don't know whether you call it history or you call it biography. No, when you come to a meeting again and you hear one and the same thing, it's boring. And one and the same thing with no progress, it becomes more boring. You know, since I came here, Department 2014, there has been this underspending. More especially, even this one to program 4 and program 3, which is at the worst performance. And always, Chairperson, will be told of invoice, also non-payment of invoice. And we'll suggest to you how do you do this, plan and so forth. But you keep on doing one and the same thing. You end up not knowing, dear, what else can you do? What else can you do? Non-adherence to portfolio committee recommendations and agreement. Isn't it that when we have the report, you have this report, you do have this report. What is our recommendations? Well, how do we want you to perform? One of them, Chairperson, I think I've seen a letter here. I think it's Mahali, if I'm not mistaken, which maybe you might get it later, but I think I must talk about it. We agreed. Any of these people, you also agreed, but nothing happened. The other issue that we have spoken about, that I don't know whether it's history or biography, maybe now it's coming closer to the obituary pay. This department is dying. It's coming closer to the obituary pay. It's this issue of ever changing. You know what instability is very easy. You know, if you want to do something to be not to be stable, it's easy. You change this one, you put another one. The other one will refer to the previous one. It just becomes a cycle like this. And there won't be any accountability. That's the problem with this department. And a lot of money is used for You see, when it's used, you know, between performance and the money that has been used, there's no correlation. No correlation. Who forced you to make this target? Who forced you to make this target? Is there any person who puts a gun and say, this is what you say, we're going to do 6,000 buckets, and you end up doing 1.5. You come to us here and say, hey, we've been able to do 1.5. Who forced you to put that target? Why didn't you put the 1,500 in the first place? Now when we're talking here, it looks like at the end, you know, we're pinning other people. We're not pinning anyone. We're looking at what you have presented to us as an APP. You came to us and you said, this is what we can offer. I said, oh no, fine. We said fine. Now we're asking you against what you said you're going to offer. Just imagine your DM, you write your own groceries getting to ShopRite. And then you come to a teen and say, but I don't have money. You wrote your own groceries. Your own groceries. You said I'm going to buy 3 packets of chips. That's what you said. You end up buying 1 packet of chips. What do you expect from your kids when they make you accountable? Your kids will make you say 3, what the other one? And what is your plan? Because if it happens that as a mother, you will be saying DM, I'll be referring to DM, I know that they know. You say as a mother to your kids, I was unable to buy 3 packets now. What is the plan in the next quarter? If in the next quarter I said I'm going to buy 5, then in the first quarter, you say in the second quarter, I'm going to say, you must be saying, okay, because I was able to buy 3, I bought 1. In the next quarter, I was supposed to buy 5. Then I must take the 2, add it into the 5. It must be 7. Are you, as a department, going to be doing this? Are we able to meet this target now, yeah? We are going to this thing to shift to the second quarter. Is it possible? If not, what's the plan about what you did not achieve? Not just when I got up and I'm putting out this thing about this, we are conniving with this department. We are not holding you accountable. I went to appropriation. I did not even speak there. If you remember, I don't know. Do we want to change the way our attitudes, the way we do things, and we do them differently? And we said we become radical. If you don't help us as politicians to be radical through you, who else can do that? I remember one of my friends saying, no, I mean, a young fool at a post, when we were in the previous class, I was a principal, was failing this month. He requested to be relegated to the HOD. You see, he was relegated to through his request. Because he was failing to monitor, failing to apply his own target, failing to manage, and failing to evaluate. So if some of you are failing to do those things, it's better you just take a drastic step. No man, I'm failing. I can't perform. I'm speaking like your brother. It might be like that, Chairperson. I'm not happy the way. You know, when I arrived here, I thought, you know, when I looked at you, I saw miracles. I just people are going to work. But yay, it's vice versa. It's vice versa now. Tina were not there. We only see people through the riots when we go for oversight. People start talking. And they are there. Hi, Chairperson, let me stop there. But please, man, my service, I don't know what, because now it's already 2019. This is happening. What are we going to say to people?
And Mr. Chauke said this is a work in progress. sometime in October, on the 4th, to be precise, we shall be expecting this department to come before us on its annual report. We shall also, before you come before the committee, we shall be expecting the Auditor General's office to come and brief us on their findings. And of course, also after that, we shall be expected, expecting the National Treasury to come before us. These are all empowerment, if you like, tools for us, so that we get ready when you come before us. So all what we are doing here, we are on a backward forward scenario. As we move forward, we get to check as to what happened in the past. So that's how we get to be informed, and also how that's how we monitor. Part of our oversight responsibility. We have also indicated that